Hey, welcome back to Crimes and Closets. This is Christy in my closet in St. Louis.
And this is Beth in my closet in North Carolina.
Happy Monday, Beth.
Happy Monday, Christy. And it's Easter week.
Yes.
And we're home.
Yes.
Yeah. Whirlwind March. That is about to be over. And what do you guys do for Easter? Do you celebrate? What do you do? I know you celebrate it.
Very, very minimally, honestly. Like, we are every now and then go to church because it's a big church holiday, but it's not like we do it every single time. And it's just us typically. And so we just make dinner. My mom always sends Easter, like, a big box with one big basket and, like, everything to stuff it with. So she'll just send me a box and then I put it all together. And so I don't necessarily do baskets because I don't want all that extra candy around on top of what she sent. Because she'll send me, like, the whole bag of Reese's, the whole bag of jelly beans, the whole bag of, like, whatever to put in it. So we do something a little bit different, like, where it's a little gift that the Easter Bunny brings. So that's pretty much all we do.
We do baskets, but my kids use the same basket and they set it out and put a treat for the Easter Bunny. And, I mean, it's only my little one who, like, cares, but you got to play the game. But we're having friends in town this week, like, for Easter weekend, and they're little guys, like a two-year-old and a four-year-old. So I'm like, oh, we're all going to do the Easter Bunny. It's going to be so fun. And I want to put out, like, little jelly bean trails and, you know, make it, like, cheesy and remember when. My kids actually cared about these. Now they're just like, can I have a V-Bucks card?
Yeah, exactly.
Easter Bunny?
Exactly. Can do you – okay, so they're going to be there. They're waking up with you on Easter morning. This is why you're going to do all this. Okay.
Right.
Will you do, like, footprints?
Yeah, no.
No. Okay.
Like in what? Mud? Glitter?
Well, no. Like, you know, people do, like, flower.
Oh, footprints. No, I'm not doing that.
For Easter Bunny.
No, I have a dog. That would go so sideways.
Oh, that's true. They'd probably, like, he'd probably step all over it.
So. No, he'd eat the flower. He would lick the flower off lick the floor. He's an idiot. Love him so much.
That's true. Oh, okay. Because I was like, I don't know, just thinking, like, that's like, oh, look, he came through. But
I guess. I'm not that level.
Right. Well.
Thought I was doing good. Now you're making me feel bad. Like, I need to do little footprints.
No, I, you know, I bring it up too because I'm, like, thinking about how I see people do it. I don't know if my mom ever did it. I feel like maybe she did, but when you see people do it and I look at the size of the footprints, I'm like, that's not even the Easter Bunny that comes in my house. So,
what do you mean?
Well, like, they're like rabbit footprints that you see, like tiny rabbit footprints. But, like, in my head, the Easter Bunny that comes in the house is, like, that giant one that you take a picture with at the mall.
Dude, that's so scary. You think that comes to your house on Easter? Wow. No wonder you have a true crime podcast. You're working through some trauma. That thing is spooky as heck.
But why wouldn't I think that when that's who I go and take a picture with? Like, why would my thought process be, oh, this tiny little bunny comes into my house and hides me? It's not that thing. Like, then give me a tiny bunny to hold at the mall.
Yeah. In the picture. It's way better. Somebody needs to normalize that. You know what? I don't think my mom ever made me do that with the big giant Easter bunny costume thing. I don't think I have had a picture. With a giant thing. So I think that's why I always thought it was like a rabbit, like a Peter Cottontail.
Yeah, not me.
And he wore a hat and a tie. 100 and, like, maybe a vest.
Trousers, little trousers.
Yeah. Man, my Easter experience growing up was, like, way different than yours. You're, like, terrorized.
Yeah, that's much cuter to think about than this giant.
Oh my gosh.
Weird Aww, thing.
Are you all right?
I think so. I'm fine
now. You need to call your mom. Like, guys, okay. Public service announcement. Do not take your children to the mall for Easter Bunny pictures because they are going to think that a giant 6-foot tall bunny with dead eyes. Really large hands is breaking into their house every spring. Oh my gosh, I'm dying.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's yeah. really scary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, now I'm curious, since we had totally opposite views of it, like what everybody else's views were growing up.
We thought Santa traumatized kids. Nope.
He's actually a real person.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Not some creepy mall bunny who gets paid $8 an hour and breaks into your house in March. Okay.
Probably works the carnival on weekends.
Lord.
Oh, man. I feel like this needs to just end now.
We're like so slap happy in the closet today. It's not even funny. Thank you for indulging us. I am dying.
Well, if you're not traumatized by my Easter, I can traumatize you with the case.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Okie dokie. Our friend Nicole over on Instagram sent us today's case.
Okay. Hello, Nicole.
Hello, Nicole. She is listening to us all the way from South Africa.
Really?
Yes.
That's neat.
Isn't that very cool? Like,
welcome in.
I don't know. Like, I just think it's cool that we have a listener or maybe listeners in South Africa. I mean, every time we hear from someone, another country just boggles my mind, I think. So,
yes.
Anyway, we're also going there for our case today. So that's kind of fun too.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were going there like on vacation or something. And I was like, what?
Yeah. No. Okay. But also a little other side note. You know how you have a thing for British accents?
Yes.
Like, South African is for me.
Like, okay.
I love it.
In fairness, I'm accents in general.
Okay.
But yes. The British are my fave.
Okay. All right. And I remember there was like one or two people from South Africa at Flagler when I was there. And I was just like obsessed. Like I wasn't even really friends with them. But every time they were like standing outside a building, I'd be like,
yeah,
staring at them. Like, what are you talking about? So anyway, we haven't been to South Africa yet for a case, have we?
No, I do not think so. Okay. I'm really here for it.
I couldn't think of one anyway. So welcome in South Africa.
Yes.
Okay. All right. This is the case of Siam Lee.
Okay.
Siam Lee was born on April 15th, 1997 in Hong Kong. So
okay.
Yeah, we're also in Hong Kong. Her mom would describe her as the gentlest, sweetest, kindest, yet timid girl. Mm-hmm. Her mom, Nan, is a sex worker, and her father, whose name I never found in any of my research, was a wealthy South African.
Oh, okay.
At some point, he passes away and sets up a trust fund for Siam, which is lovely. I don't know their relationship, if like she was in a relationship or if she was a sex worker at the time and just happened to get pregnant, or you know what I'm saying? Like,
okay.
I don't know. I don't know if he hired her and she accidentally got pregnant or if they were in a relationship. It's very unclear. So, but anyway, either way, he sets up a trust fund for her. Her and her mother loved Hong Kong, but for reasons that we do not know, when Siam was 5 years old, her and her mother moved to Durban, South Africa. This is kind of close to the eastern coast of southern Africa.
Okay.
From what I know nothing about South Africa. But what I see on a map. So, excuse me. Because her father had set up a trust fund, Siam was able to attend Crawford College. Now, before we get confused about this, I had to look it up. This school had multiple campuses in different like cities. And so the one that she attended was in La Lucia, and it's a private school, not a college. So it was like just their grades are a lot different than what we would do. So they have a pre-primary school, which is grade 0000. So 4 zeros to grade 0.
Okay.
I don't understand it.
Education brought to you by Christy.
I didn't look up the like logic behind like why it's 4 zeros and then to zero. But anyway, that's pre-primary school. Then preparatory school, which is grades 1st through 7th, and then college, which is 8th through 12th grade.
Wow. So, I feel like they just go to school their whole lives.
Right. And then there's college. Like I don't know, maybe they call that university? I don't
Uni.
Know.
Uni. Yeah.
I didn't look past that. I just looked up what this actual school was. So anyway, so she went to this basically grade school and high school to me. Okay. So I'm assuming she went there to 12th grade. When she graduated from there, the trust fund payments stopped. Not exactly sure why, if there was an issue that came up or if there were just stipulations in place for timing of distributions of funds or whatnot, but they stopped. So Siam had dreamed of becoming a teacher and she wanted to travel the world. So she needed to start to save money for schooling. So
okay,
she became a waitress and a bar lady, which these are all terms that they use in their newspaper. So I'm assuming that maybe that just is like a bartender, a promoter, and she also sold pool chemicals.
Okay.
At some point, she decided to start working with her mom, who is also still a sex worker at the time. But she did not, like, the plan was never for her to become a sex worker. She was just advertising through the adult booking website they used called Red Velvet, and she was giving sensual massages. So she was more of a masseuse than sex worker. Okay?
Okay. Yeah.
Her mother was to, the plan was for her mother to keep an eye on her business and just to make sure that she was safe and whatnot. So they operated out of the same brothel house on Maytham Avenue. They would stop once, she would stop once she made enough to go to school and become a teacher. Essentially, that was the plan. Or okay, if the trust fund all of a sudden started to kick in again. A few months into working as a masseuse in October of 2017, Siam met, now these names I'm going to totally screw up, Pilani Natuli, who was a 29-year-old successful businessman from the area.
Okay.
I'm just going to call him Natuli from now on.
Okay.
I believe his last name is the easiest part to say. He hired Siam through the website for a massage. And after his massage, he messaged her to ask her if she would like to go to dinner later that night.
Oh, he liked her.
I guess so. She's like 19 or 20 at the time. Mm-hmm. So he's, you know, slightly older. So Natuli came to pick her up that evening, and that's Nan met him, and the two left for dinner. Siam came home a little after 10 that night, and when she came in, her mom said that she said, "Oh, Mom, I never want to see that man ever again because he was so weird and so creepy." So I don't know what happened. And in an interview, the mom said that she didn't get a weird vibe from him when she met him, but this is what Siam said.
Mm-hmm.
So months go by, and apparently Natuli kept contacting Siam, but she just didn't want to see him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
On January 4th, 2018, Natuli showed up at the brothel house that Siam worked at and went straight to her room, because I'm assuming that they just all have their own like rooms that they operate out of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know much about brothels. And he had handcuffs and a gun with him, and he forced her into his car and took off down the road.
Yikes.
I'm not sure if anyone saw him doing all of this, because I don't really know if the police were called like right away, you know, like somebody was there in the house. I don't know. It's all very, very vague in the articles I read. But the police had no leads on how to find Siam when she was reported missing. So it was okay, kind of like nobody had seen and been like, Natuli did it, you know. So makes me think that nobody was there or just were in the rooms and they didn't see it all happen.
Right.
So they searched for days, and a week after she went missing, on January 11th, a farmer who was taking his son fishing walked through a sugarcane field about 60 kilometers away, which is about 37 miles from where she was taken, and a body was found that was badly burnt. They would need to do DNA tests to get a positive confirmation of who it is, but they were sure that it was Siam Lee.
Hmm.
Her mother said that the way she was lying, her arm was above her head and the forearm and hand were not burnt, I don't think. And so she could recognize the silver glitter nail polish on her nails.
Oh, man.
I know. Could you imagine?
What year is this again?
This is in 2018.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So she's 20, maybe about to turn. Yeah. She wasn't about to turn 21 when this happened.
And like, brothels, huh?
Yeah.
In 2018. Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I guess. I mean, that's what's said.
Yeah.
So, although she would not be officially identified for 2 months, so she like her body was held for 2 months. And through the DNA, they did know it was Siam eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Not only was she burnt, but the middle of her face, her mom stated that it was just like a hole because and she had like no teeth because she had been bludgeoned in the face.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's awful. This man is a monster. The investigator on the case was determined to be the one to arrest whoever committed this heinous crime against Siam. Once they started investigating, they found CCTV close to the brothel of Siam being forced into a black Mercedes. About 2 minutes after she was taken, there was a car accident that happened like just down the road from the abduction site. A car had hit another car, and because he was going so fast because he was fleeing the scene, that he fled that car accident scene as well. And the person that he hit was so mad that they chased him down the road and actually ended up hitting the back of his car with theirs, but then the car still managed to get away. So,
oh my gosh, I feel like that would be my husband. If somebody hit him and took off, he'd be like, no, you don't, sir.
Mm-mm, here I come.
Tag back.
I think I'd be so afraid to like...
I would be.
Yeah. I also think I might be so stunned that I'd be like, did they just do that? What the hell? Like, it would take me a second. I don't think I'd have the quickest reflexes to just be like flooring it to go. But anyway. Okay. So investigators thought that a good idea would be to check recent insurance claims to see if anyone had made a claim to fix their car. And they were in luck because someone did. And the address they got from that claim matched an address from a case that they had 2 years earlier that he just happened to remember. Where a woman who said she had been taken back to and raped at that house.
Oh my.
I don't know what happened to that case, but I'm guessing nothing since this man is still out there and is now involved in another case. Or maybe, I don't know.
Maybe they couldn't prove it.
Yeah, it's possible. So they go out to the home, but no one's there. And they start to look around and in the garage because I'm assuming that they have a search warrant or they just do things way differently in South Africa because they're just like opening this garage and no one's home. But they find this black Mercedes Viano, which fit. Do you know what a Viano is?
No, I just remember that you said black Mercedes.
Mercedes. It's like a big, like almost like Sprinter vanish, but maybe even like bigger than that. Like it's a big, like,
seen those.
And it's funny because her mom in an interview said that when he pulled up to the house, she's like, he pulled up in this big loaf of bread. Because that's what it looks like. The shape
They do kind of. They use them on the Real Housewives when they have to like rent transportation and they don't want like a limo.
Well, that makes sense.
They rent these like Mercedes vans to take them to the airport and stuff.
Okay. Well, anyway, so this one fits the description of the car that was in the accident, also the one that was seen on the CCTV footage. They also saw that the back of the car was smashed in from where that other car came and chased him and hit him. So they proceeded to just tow the car away. So he's not home and they just take his car right out of the garage.
Okay.
I'm like, I want to do this to people. Like,
I was going
to
say, this is a swift investigation. Mind it at all. No hassle, no paperwork.
No, not at all. So the investigator then like goes up the street, up the hill and like waits and sits to see when this man's going to come back. So when Natuli drives up, he opens the garage and notices and just the investigator's like, he just kind of stands there like, it's my car. Like, what the heck is going on? It's my
Sprinter van, guys.
Yeah. So he stands there for about 20 or 30 seconds in disbelief and then as the investigator then rolls up and takes him down and arrests him.
Mm-hmm.
So as he's cuffing him, the investigator's like, damn, this guy's really well-dressed. He smells good and he's really well-spoken and was like almost convinced that he was like arresting the wrong man. Like, why would a man like this murder somebody? Like he could probably get anyone.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Right. Because he's a narcissistic ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. So they take him down to the station and start questioning him. And the investigator said that Natuli gave the following details with very little emotion. And he was, I mean, we're not kind of surprised by that because we've heard of so many cases where they're just like, this is what I did, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But this guy was like, it was so strange to me. He's like, because anybody that I've ever like had confessed to me is like crying and upset and like, whether it's because they got caught or they actually feel bad about it, but they're still like showing some sort of emotion. So it was really weird for him to see this man just be like, yep, this is what happened, you know, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, Natuli stated that he had sent Siam money or lent Siam money, which we don't have confirmation except for what he's saying. So this is just his version of how it went down. And it was somewhere around 40,000 Rand, which is, that's South African money. It's around $2,000 US dollars.
Okay.
Okay. He said he waited for her to pay him back and she never did. He got tired of waiting, so he went there with a gun and handcuffs and demanded the money. When she said she didn't have it, he got angry and took her because he figured that if she wasn't going to pay, then she could probably he could probably get somebody else to come up with the money, like kind of ransom.
Hmm.
But he never asked for ransom, so I don't believe him either way. He took her to his home where he handcuffed her to some sort of like banister or railing of some sort in his home. And he stated that he raped her repeatedly while she was there. And I think he said he only held her for 24 hours. So, I don't know. Anyway. He decided he
just admitted to raping her repeatedly?
Yes. And that's why this man's like, I cannot believe you're telling me all of this just so matter-of-factly. Like, yeah, that's what I do. So he decided he needed to kill her because Siam had told him that no matter what he did or said, she was going to report him to the police. Just like, I don't care. I'm reporting you, which maybe wasn't the best idea since then that caused him to like, but she was being like, nope, you are not going to get away with this.
Well, she was saying, I'm not going down. You are.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
For doing this to me. I'm not going to just ignore it. I'm sure he was
trying to intimidate her to get her to not go to the police because I believe this man has done stuff like this before. And maybe also maybe that other woman ended up recanting maybe in the end. So
would make sense.
Yeah. So he stated that her legs began spasming. Oh, I'm sorry. He started to strangle her. And while he was strangling her, her legs began to spasm. And so he stopped strangling her and felt badly and wanted to help her to stop the spasming. So that's when he went out to the garage and retrieved a hammer and bludgeoned in her face and bludgeoned her.
No.
Yeah, you're helping her.
Oh my gosh,
thank you.
This poor girl.
Yeah, awful. Natuli then went to the store to get gasoline, and when they tried to verify his story, they found that he had gone to the store during an hour of time that the surveillance camera was not working. However, the store attendant was like, no, he was here because he's a regular customer of mine, and I recognized him at the time. So he stated that he drove to Cato Ridge, which is a bit west of Durban, and he planned to dispose of her there, but there were too many people around. So he just kept driving to New Hanover, where that sugarcane field was, and disposed of her body there, poured gasoline on it, and lit her ablaze.
Oh, so that's why he got the gas.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
During his bail hearing, which, by the way, he was granted. How are you granted bail on this kind of like heinous crime? I don't understand. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he claimed that he had been tortured and assaulted during his questioning. Well, I don't believe him, but I wish he was.
there's no surveillance of the interrogation? Or audio, or anything?
I don't know. I don't know.
That seems like it would be a really easy thing to disprove. Also, is he injured?
Well, no. He said that he had bruises to prove it, but I don't know. He wasn't believed in anyways, but
okay.
And that he said he was told to confess to this or leave in a body bag. Yeah, sure. Sure, police tell people that all the time.
Well, I mean,
there are probably some out there, but I don't believe that any of these people did.
Right.
Those allegations were denied, and he didn't have anything to substantiate those claims. And so, and the investigators had a strong case against him for what he actually did do. So it was obviously that he was like clearly a suspect in this. And so they were just like, no, we don't believe you. We're not even like taking this seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So Natuli was facing at least 8 charges, murder, kidnapping, unlawful possession of a firearm, failure to report an incident, fraud, and a couple of counts of crimen injuria.
Okay.
Look up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a crime under South African common law, which is defined as the act of unlawfully, intentionally, and seriously impairing the dignity of another. Mm. Usually they said they see it in road rage, stalking, emotional, physical, I mean, psychological abuse, and like sex offenses against children.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. During their investigation, they found that the car they had taken from his home, that they believed was the vehicle that she was kidnapped in, had its own tracking system. Yeah. There you go, mm-hmm. Mercedes. So this tracker would prove that the car was at the scene of the abduction and also at the accident scene that happened nearby and mm-hmm. where her body was found.
So yeah, there we
try
go.
Try and disprove that you were there and did this.
Right.
The investigator also started getting inundated with calls from people who may have seen him in the newspapers or on the news or something, saying that they recognized him as a man who had scammed them. So that's where the fraud charges were coming in.
Okay.
They claimed that Natuli had convinced them to invest anywhere from 5,000 Rand to 25,000 Rand into fake businesses, mm-hmm. which clearly a 40,000 is like $2,000. It's, you know. Less than that for those.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm sure that's a lot of money there, though. I don't know what right. the like,
cost of living and all
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So when they tried to contact him to like see about their investment or to get their money back, they would just like find he was like unreachable and couldn't find him and whatnot. But then they're seeing him on, you know, in the news for this story. So they're like, hey, that guy scammed us.
Mm-hmm.
There were also a few women who came forward saying they went to like on a job interview with Natuli where he just ended up taking as opportunities to seduce them. So like mm-hmm. there weren't real jobs. He was just like getting women to come. And then I don't know if he ended up actually assaulting them or not, but I'm sure he did based on the kind of guy that
yeah.
he's already proving to be.
Skeezy dude.
Yeah. He's also accused of knowing that he had AIDS and was intentionally trying to infect others. I don't have like 100% proof of that, but it's stated in several articles.
So, wow.
Yeah. Gross. A couple of other women came forward as well. One was a woman who said in 2016, Natuli kidnapped her and raped her at gunpoint, which I believe may have been that one that I spoke of earlier where they're like, hey, 2 years ago, this matched the address of.
Yeah. Oh, I believe her.
So I believe this, like she's, maybe she was intimidated to not go forward. And now she's like, yeah, he did it to me.
Mm-hmm.
So the other one was Lucky Mtembu.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. I'm sorry. She had been tormented by Natuli for the past 3 years. She was engaged to him. But then broke it off because he had tried to kill her by kicking and strangling her.
Yeah, I would break it off too. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Lucky is lucky. She is alive.
Yeah, no kidding. She's
good
like
for her for getting out.
No kidding. Absolutely beautiful too. She was like Miss Teen 2009 or I don't know, something. Like she won that, I think, for South Africa. She's very pretty. Anyway, that's like total side note, but even with protection orders and criminal charges brought up against him regarding what he did to Lucky, he still stalked her constantly. And she like had to stay on the move, never stayed in one place for very long because she was always afraid that he would just show up at any moment. She stayed off social media because whenever she would go on it, he would like hack all of her accounts and get in mm-hmm. there and post stuff and whatever. So once he was arrested, she was like, I feel so relieved that he's yeah. just off the streets and not around.
She knows where he is.
Yeah, exactly. So Natuli's trial was set to take place in July of 2019. However, a month before it was to begin, Natuli died of skin cancer.
Shut up.
Yes. Skin cancer. There was a lot of talk from people questioning that if he had really died or not, or if he had faked his death, because around the same time there was this other prisoner, dangerous prisoner, who faked his death in prison and ended up escaping from prison. And so they were like, are you sure he's dead? Because maybe he's just trying to like fake this so that he can keep going. But the court said that they verified it with a death certificate, but people even questioned that because they're like, well, anyone can print a death certificate and turn it in and whatever. But they said that they took prints that they had on file from when he was arrested and then prints off the body that was in the morgue and said that those matched.
Okay.
So the courts were convinced it was him and ended up taking his trial off the docket. So it's just like done now.
Oh.
But anyway, I mean, he's off the streets because he's dead. Well, I hope he's dead. But he's a career con man slash criminal and very dangerous. Like rapes, kidnappings, killings. Like there's multiple people accusing him of this.
Mm-hmm.
Siam's mom, Nan, moved out of Durban and moved to Bloemfontein.
Nice. Which,
Nicole. Nicole is probably going to have a lot to say about pronunciation of all of this.
I bet she anticipated it would go just like this when she sent it over, so I'm sure she'll give you some grace.
Yeah. I should have reached out and been like, can you please send me a voice message on all of these pronunciations?
We've been known.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the capital of South Africa, so she still lives in South Africa. She misses Sayem every day and lives with the guilt from what happened. Because she obviously...
Oh, well, it's not her fault. Gosh.
Yeah, but I guess because she supported her doing the massages through this website and like helped her do that. She
could have came across this guy for anywhere.
Well, that's true. Since he was such a con man, but anyway, so that is the sad, sad story of Siam Lee.
I also think it's very interesting how the police officer, when he arrested him, was like, I feel like I have the wrong guy. Because at first glance, he even conned them. Where he was like, he's so well-dressed. He smells nice. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
And that's scary, too.
Well, those are the ones like, people who get away with it for so long. Because, nobody believes that that person can be that kind of person.
Because they literally strive their whole life to manipulate other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh. That is a sad case.
It is very sad.
And she was really young.
Yes. Whole life ahead of her.
And I'm just curious because you mentioned the accents. Were there documentaries or did you just watch news reports and stuff?
There was one very short documentary. And yeah, I was totally enamored. I watched it three times, actually.
Just gonna say, I feel like if they're real short like that and something about them catches you, I do the same thing. I'm like, I'm just gonna watch. I'm just gonna hit replay on that one.
Yeah, totally watched that. The first time I watched it, I didn't take any notes. And then the second time, I was like, well, I have to go back and take notes. And then I was just like, I just wanna watch it again. Make sure I got everything I needed from it.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's really sad. And it is very interesting, I think, to highlight those cases that are not in the U.S.
Yeah.
Today,
mm-hmm.
Because there are bad people everywhere and we want all of you to stay safe.
Yes.
In whatever capacity that you can. So thank you very much. And thank you, Nicole. And thank you, Zaga Berga. I'm just kidding. That was silly. but yeah, that's really sad. Rest in peace, Siam. Mm-hmm. That's right. Siam Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And Nan, hope you are able to recover and... At least we know this guy can't victimize anybody else.
Yes. No kidding. So, I mean, I pray. I pray that he didn't fake his death. But I'm pretty convinced based on what they said that they did to, prove it. But.
I don't know that anybody – there are certain things I feel like people would cover up for whatever reasons, for money-related reasons or whatever. But this guy was a gross predator.
I'm not saying that the courts were covering it up. I'm just – people are just saying that – they don't they believe the information they had that they're saying proved it is not real. That
somebody
fooling
would
everyone.
Have to know something then.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. In my opinion, he couldn't have done it alone. So I think he's dead. I think he's in the hot place.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Happy Monday to you. We hope you're staying safe and we appreciate you very much. If you like what you hear, we have a Patreon. Come find us on social media. Gosh, our social media on point 2024. It's elevated. It's so nice. We have so much engagement with you guys. You have real opinions, thoughtful, series that we like to read and we appreciate. So keep that coming and come and find us. You can message us all the time. We love to read it. We'll write you back. If you're listening on Apple and you haven't reviewed us, go and do that, because if you've made it this far into an episode, you like us. We see you. We know you like us. So come and tell us what it is you like about us. Apple loves it when you do that. We love it when you do that. It helps us out a lot. And we'll see you back next Monday for another case. And always remember, the world is scary. People suck. Hide in your closet.